Jess, and we're back for the second part of It's All About Food. Woo! You know what? I just wanted to mention something. Do you like the music that I play at the beginning of the program and during the break and at the end? I just have to mention that it was composed and played by my brother, Barry Hartglass, who's an awesome musician. I don't get to mention him very often. He's at barryhartglass.com. But I just wanted to bring it up because he's going to be one of the musicians who's accompanying us next week at our Responsible Eating and Living fundraiser, the Happy Earth Day Review, which is on Earth Day. And I'm very happy about that. So for more information on that, just go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. And you can always email me about just about anything at info@realmeals.org. Very good. Now let's get to the really exciting part. Jane Velez Mitchell, are you there?
I am. How are you, my dear?
Good. Very good. You know, I normally read bios, but, you know, you are just bigger than big, and I just want to talk about the news and the good stuff and everything. But anyway, for those of you who don't know this amazing individual, she's the editor of a new website, JaneUnchained.com. We're going to be talking a lot about that. She's won 4 Genesis Awards from the Humane Society. She's an author. She had her own program on CNN, Headline News, and just a powerhouse. So thank you for being on this planet, Jane.
Well, thank you for being on this planet.
Okay. Well, you know, we really didn't have much say about it when it happened, did we?
That's true.
Yes.
But other people do have a choice as to whether they're going to have children or how many children they have. You know, we're going to hit 2050. By 2050, we're going to have 9 billion people on this planet. And the Earth just can't sustain that much more. So I like to say there are so many kids out there who need good homes, who need to be adopted. And think about that as an option if, you know, you want kids. There are children out there who have no homes, and our world can only sustain so many people.
Yeah, you know, this show is called It's All About Food, and we talk about veganism, plant-based diets, the environment, and the treatment of animals and everything connected to food. But, you know, it really is related to the population of humans on this planet, because if we had 50 or 100 or, you know, a million people on the planet, we wouldn't be experiencing the stuff that's going on today.
More people have been born since 1950 than existed in the entire history of the world up to 1950.
Yes. Well, I'm doing my part.
I think you're absolutely right, and let's talk about food. I want to talk about
I chose long ago that I didn't want to have children, and you know, I love kids, and I love my nieces and nephews, and all my friends' kids. But I mean, it's just a piece of it is deciding how many children to have or not have. It's important.
Yeah. And you know, all these shows that 19 and counting, the Duggars that encourage this sort of self-indulgence when it comes to having many, many children. I just think it's so unfortunate. Again, there are so many kids who need homes. And, you know, while we're talking about population and food, we could solve world hunger today. And as we're talking, there are kids dying of malnutrition all around the world. And we could feed all those kids very easily if, for example, Americans stopped eating meat and took the 9 billion animals that we raise and slaughter for food every year and stopped that production and the insemination of those animals and the breeding of those animals and took the food that those animals eat and distributed it equitably around the world, we would end world hunger today. So when people say to me, well, oh, why are you so worried about animals and getting people to eat plants and, you know, don't you have something more important to talk about? What's more important than world hunger? And while we're talking about the resources that these animals use, we've got this massive drought in California, and I find it amazing that the news media, which is really so biased on this issue, when they talk about the water the farmers use, they go to almonds.
No, I know. It's
the meat and dairy companies that are using all the water.
You know, I haven't done the math, but I'm tempted. I really want to do the math. But, you know, how much money is really going into almond production and water? It can't even be the tip of the iceberg going into the plants that are grown to feed animals to feed those cows and the alfalfa that we're growing to export to China.
Of course it isn't, but here's the point. You're not going to get any mainstream media to talk about that. Look at the advertisers.
Yeah.
The advertisers are connected to the meat and dairy industry, so you can't even say that. You say the word vegan on mainstream TV, they shut you right down.
Now, just you were on CNN for a while, and
I'm just talking about media in general. I was just on an unnamed show today on television, and I started talking about veganism because it came up. We were talking about Hillary Clinton going to Chipotle. And somebody said, very fun host is a friend of mine. He goes, yeah, well, she's doing what everybody does, eating fast food, trying to be a populist. And I said, not everybody eats fast food. I don't eat fast food. And then somehow we ended up talking about veganism, and he said right out, he goes, don't talk about that. The people here on the show who eat meat don't like that. They don't like it. People don't want to be confronted about their behavior.
Yep.
They don't want to have to look at it. And if they have the power to say, don't talk about it, that's what they're going to do. So the way that things change is with a new generation. And that's why I've jumped to the internet, and I'm doing social media where I'm shooting tons of protests, animal rights protests, and going to the veggie festivals, the New York City Vegetarian Food Festival, which had 8,000 people. No coverage. No coverage.
No coverage. I know. Yep, no coverage. Yep.
Yeah, so we have to become the media for animals. This is the point that I've been trying to make over and over again with everyone. So to all our listeners, if you care about the animals, it's up to you to spread the message. Nobody else will do it but you. And that's the same thing when it comes to animal activism in general. You're upset about something? Just do something about it, because there's nobody else who's going to be able to do it. All the animal welfare organizations and the animal rights organizations are stretched thin. They get hundreds of calls every day with people saying, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know that? I get hundreds of emails every week that they're killing the cormorants. They're kidnapping elephants in Zimbabwe. They're taking the wild horses and running them off the land. They're, you know, it's one thing after another, every day, dozens and dozens of things. If you're upset about it, you do something about it, just like I'm doing something about it. Because the idea that somebody else is going to do this, it's just not true.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. Just do something. Each one of us has to do something. And for everybody that's listening, number one, thank you for listening. But now you've got to go and do whatever it is you can do. And we
Yeah, you can share videos. There are many, many animal rights videos that pop up all the time. I'm shooting them. Go to JaneUnchained.com and share my videos. Go to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/JaneVelezMitchell, and start sharing the videos. Go to Mercy for Animals and start sharing their videos. Go to PETA and start sharing their videos. Become the media for animals. That's number one. Anybody who says, oh, I can't do this, I don't have time, it doesn't take any time at all to hit a button that says share.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't take that much time. Facebook is an incredible medium. Twitter is an incredible medium. You can get the message out there, but you've got to be part of the process.
Yes, yeah, so the message is share, share, share. Like, click, share. Takes no time at all. And it makes a big difference. Whew. Now, it's important to get to the young people, the next generation, and I really have a lot of faith in them getting this message because, I mean, we do so much exploitation on so many levels, exploitation of people, of non-human animals, of the planet, and I believe that the younger generations are more sensitive to all of it. So I'm hoping that that's going to change. But the other big piece of it is money. And, you know, you said that the shows that you've been on, the advertisers don't want to hear this information. Now,
I'm not talking about the shows I've been on. I'm talking about in general. All you have to do is you know, turn on any TV show
anywhere.
Anywhere. And you just look at the advertisers are mostly meat and dairy companies. So they're not going to want people talking about factory farming, the hideous things. See, once you open the door, the Pandora's box of animal rights, and you start saying, look, you know, what's happening to Lolita down at the Seaquarium, what's happening to Tilikum and the other, you know, orcas at SeaWorld, what has happened to them, that opens the door. Because once people start caring about one orca, all of a sudden their minds start doing calculations and they start realizing, wait a second, if I care about this one orca, how can I sit here and eat a hamburger? Because that's another animal. And people want to remain in a state of denial about that. Once you open that Pandora's box, you're on the journey. There is no turning back. You may be on a slow train. You may be on a fast train. But you've had the light bulb go off in some way, shape, or form. And that's what, you know, is really what's going to happen in terms of evolution, of us evolving as a species beyond killing. When we're incapable of having factory farms and people are eating a plant-based diet, we will have evolved beyond war. We will have evolved beyond all sorts of violence. So, I mean, this is really a litmus test for evolution of our human species. And it's undoubtedly the most important issue facing the world today. Ironically, when you talk to people about this issue, they scoff and they laugh at you and they say, you know, get a life. Because mm-hmm. they can't make those connections. But once the light bulb goes off, then they go, aha, it's like everything else in life. Gravity, you know, until that apple hit the ground, people, and then all of a sudden, oh, gravity. Well, that makes sense. That's obvious.
Yeah, and when Newton was talking about gravity, they all said he was a nut, right?
Right. And, you know, there's a good old song. They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round.
You know,
so we're a little ahead of the herd, and we're doing this really important work, and I applaud you for talking about this. And you know, we've really just got to let people know that we're in crisis right now, and that it doesn't mean we have to walk around being depressed or just talk amongst ourselves. I don't like to sit around and talk to other animal rights activists mm-hmm. about what's happening. We've just either a plan for action or talk to somebody who doesn't get it yet, because that's wasted energy. I mean, I'm talking to you about it. You're an animal activist and obviously a proponent of a plant-based diet, and so am I. We're talking to each other because other people are listening. Otherwise, you and I should be talking about what's the next demo we're going to, what's the next food demonstration. We have to be talking about spreading the message.
Yes, or we could talk about what's the next wonderful new vegan restaurant that's showing up.
Yeah, those trends are
No, I mean just you and me, not for our listeners. Just saying, if we were going to be not anyway, that's like a fun thing that we can do when we're just socializing with our own kind. Just rejoicing about the access to wonderful, delicious food that's popping up everywhere. Yes, but
yeah,
I have a lot of listeners that are not vegan, and many of them have written to me and say they want to move in that direction, and they struggle on so many levels. I've been doing it for over 26 years. I can't see doing it any other way. It's not hard for me, but I mean, my heart goes out there for people that are challenged by it for whatever reasons. But I want to say it really isn't hard if you...
it's so easy, and it's so much fun. I mean, who wants to sit there eating the same thing over and over again? Let's have a challenge. Today, okay, I did this early morning hit on a station, and I came back, and I stopped at a grocery store. I felt the urge for noodles, so I got some... Chinese noodles, making sure that they didn't have any egg in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I put those in a pot with cauliflower and broccoli and tofu. I added some Bragg's Amino, which is like a soy sauce but lighter sodium, and some nutritional yeast. And I added a vegetarian bouillon cube, low sodium. And I put that all together with some water, and it was the most delicious soup. And it was kind of rainy here today, so I'm in New York. It was the perfect lunch. And that was a delicious lunch that I had. And then later, I still was hungry, even though that was a nice big soup. And later, after a couple of hours, because I did get up at like 6 a.m., so that was, you know, a weird breakfast, but I had been up since 6. So I had that at about 11. And then later I had a really great, it wasn't Ezekiel bread, but it was very similar. It was all grains and
sprouted
nice
grains.
Crunchy, yeah, sprouted toast with some organic peanut butter and some sugar-free jam that is just really good, you know, natural jam. And that was another delicious lunch right there. And, you know,
and easy.
It's not difficult. And I'm not a cook. I mean, it's not like I'm a gourmet chef or anything, but I whip things up all the time. I use coconut oil and, canola oil and olive oil and garlic and Bragg's aminos and nutritional yeast. And remember, 90% of the things are, it's the sauces you put on them, you know, that give them the flavor. They did a taste test with the Today Show where I was here watching it at home, or probably watching it on the computer. I don't remember, but I don't watch the Today Show. I don't watch any tele. I watch everything on the computer, so I saw this on the computer. And they did a taste test. They brought in Beyond Meat chicken version, and they made some real chicken, and they asked the stars of the show, tell us which is the real chicken and which is the Beyond Meat. And they got it wrong.
Right.
They picked the wrong one. So if you can't tell the difference, why kill an animal? You know, I remember this woman, this very sort of sophisticated woman. I was in L.A. We were at some kind of a meeting, and I had brought something as food, and I brought some soy bologna. So I was trying to, you know, bring something that might be palatable. And the woman was going for it, and I said, oh, that's soy bologna. And then she stopped herself and she goes,
ew.
Ooh, I don't know if I can go there. And, you know, I didn't want to be rude, but I thought, wait, you can rip an animal away from his mother. You could stick him in a crate. You can have the grieving mother chasing after the cow and beaten away. You can stick animals in crates, never allowing them to turn around. You can drive them to the slaughterhouse. You can slit their throat in terror, you know, as they defecate on themselves and everything else. You can take the veins out of them and the eyeballs out of them and hang them upside down. And well, of course, she didn't have to do any of that, right, because she's ordering the hit. She's not carrying it out. But you know what they say in crime, and my whole thing on JaneUnchained.com is to treat crimes against animals, whether they're legal or not, moral crimes against animals as crimes. I've found myself in the crime genre, and I can't even tell you how I got there, but somehow I ended up in the crime genre. And my whole thing is crimes against animals should be treated just like crimes against people. So you know that when it comes to crimes against people, if you order a hit, you are also culpable of murder. You don't have to pull the trigger yourself. And
I never heard that before. I love it. If you order a hit, that's brilliant.
Well, if you're involved in a carjacking and you didn't necessarily shoot the person, but you were involved in that carjacking, you're as guilty as the person who shot the driver.
That's right. Guilty.
Right. Or a bank robbery. Any of these kinds of crimes. Well, so it's the same concept. You don't have to go there and slit the animal's throat to be responsible for the torture and the death of that animal. And remember, we're talking about 9 billion farm animals raised in horrific factory farm conditions and slaughtered every year.
It's a number that nobody
do
can
do not trump moral responsibility. Okay? I would like to eat chocolate all day long. I love chocolate. I'm a chocoholic. You know, I don't. I would love to eat nothing, but when I was a little kid, I thought of it, because my parents were macrobiotic, you know, for a while. They went through that phase. I thought, when I grow up, I'm going to have ice cream and snow cones and chocolate all day long. That's all I'm going to eat. You know, but taste buds don't trump everything. You know, I don't want to go into sugar shock and get diabetes and become obese, so I constrain myself. The people who say, oh, you know, don't tell me what I should do, don't restrict my right as an American, I don't personally believe that your right extends to killing another sentient being.
Yep, amen. That's right. I'm talking to Jane Velez Mitchell, and you are probably the biggest or the most famous animal rights journalist reporter we have on the planet. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know about
There's
that.
There's nobody else
I am
but
just...
you.
No. I mean, there are so many wonderful people. I had the opportunity to ride in a car for 8 hours, what was supposed to be a five-hour trip turned into 8 hours, with Ingrid Newkirk a couple of days ago, who's the president
of
PETA.
Okay, but she's not a reporter or a journalist. She runs a nonprofit organization.
She does, but you want to talk about heroes. You want to talk about inspiring people.
No, I
want to
talk about journalists like you that are really telling it like it is, like so many don't.
Well,
that's all.
Look,
so I'm just applauding you. Yay, Jane.
Thank you. That's sweet of you. But I don't want the exclusive on this story. I would love nothing more to have everybody else reporting it to the point where I wouldn't need to report it.
Oh, of course. But
it's
let me ask you a question.
It's an abdication of responsibility that these journalists don't report on these stories. I just want to say this. When I started Jane Unchained on a fluke, because basically my girlfriend had given me a GoPro camera for my birthday, and so I, you know, when I was free to do whatever I wanted to, I had a nice run on a show. It ended, and I came home, and I was like, well, what am I going to do now? And I thought, look, we have a GoPro. I hadn't even used it. We used it once just to go bike riding. And I knew that there was a protest. I said, let's go cover the protest. This is how it started. Well, we get there. There's no other journalist there. It's a great protest. I forget what it was. I just started, and my girlfriend and I, she's really savvy on social media and editing and everything else, and she's taught me to edit. But anyway, we just started going to these protests. Not one protest that we went to was there another, maybe one or two of the, I don't know, 40, 50 protests we've gone to now.
Wow.
Some of them, I mean, when we covered the Lolita protest, that was covered because that was a big deal. When we're covering the monkey issue down in Southwest Florida, and please go to Jane Unchained and get involved with Monkeygate down there. They're trying to turn Southwest Florida into the lab monkey breeding capital of America, and they've been secretly, Hendry County commissioners have secretly been improving these facilities without telling the public, and now the public knows, and they're outraged, and they're trying to do everything they can to stop it. So please get involved. Read the stories on JaneUnchained.com. Write to the Hendry County commissioners. Tell them how you feel as an American, that you don't want this to happen, and do whatever you can. Share the videos. Call everybody you know who lives in the Fort Myers, Naples area. Get people involved. Fly down there. I'm flying down on Monday. It's my third trip down there. You know, it gets down to if you want something done, do it yourself.
That's right.
You know, people love to sit around and chat over cocktails about the terrible state of the environment and animals. And this is what needs to be done, and this is what needs to be done. And what I tell people is just do it. No one else.
Wow. Well, that's a great way to end, because we're at the end, and I know you could talk about all kinds of important things all day long, and you do. Thank you for joining me on It's All About Food, Jane Velez Mitchell, with your video for The Voiceless, JaneUnchained.com. Go there, get inspired, and do stuff. Thank you,
Jane. I love you. Keep it up. Keep
I
going.
Love you. Okay. Stay fueled
Bye.
And inspired. Bye.
Bye. Okay.
Bye. Wow, that was great. Jane Velez Mitchell, go to JaneUnchained.com. We have a minute left, and I wanted to remind you again about ResponsibilityAndLiving.com. Our upcoming fundraiser is on Earth Day, which is my birthday, Wednesday, April 22nd. You can still get tickets if you're in the New York metro area. It's really easy to get to, and I want to see you there, okay? And meanwhile, you can also go to Responsibility and Living, because there's a lot of great things going on. I've got my What Vegans Eat blog, and there are links to wonderful recipes when you go there. Jane was mentioning the importance of sauces and how they make the difference in making food taste good, and that's why we started the Transition Kitchen, and we started with the traditional French mother sauces that we are veganizing, showing you how easy they are to make, and they're the foundation sauces to make everything taste delicious. So you can go to our video button and check out the Transition Kitchen, and we've got more of those coming really soon. Thanks for joining me on It's All About Food, everybody. Send me an email at info@realmeals.org, and have a delicious week, okay?